Blaine, thank you so much for joining us. Can you please introduce yourself and where your farm is located?
My name is Lane Raleigh, and we're right over the California border in Oregon. We're about 15 miles from the California border on the south side of the town of Klamath Falls, Oregon.
And how many acres do you have and what do you grow?
So we own 80 acres and we rent about 200 and some acres. So about 300 acres is what we ranch and farm. We grow our hay. Well, we've been growing hay for our cows that we don't sell any hay. We feed it all to our cows, but with our water issues, we're not growing near as much hay as we have before in the past.
So can you sort of set that stage for the audience members who don't know anything about what's happening with the water situation in Oregon and California? Can you explain to them what the water issues are?
So we bought our place in 2001. We actually signed the papers on it the day before the Bureau of Reclamation announced that we were not going to get any water, which was, I don't know if that should have told us something, but so we had water for the most part for until last year was the first year in 120 years that our main A canal ditch had never had water. It didn't have water in it at all. So last year we got some tailwater from some of the neighbors that had well water. So we got to irrigate some of our pastures a little bit, but so we had to drastically cut back on our cow numbers. We've been selling them the last 2 years because we just don't have the pasture, and you can't afford to buy hay and feed cows year round to make any kind of profit at all on them. So last year we cut about 30 tons. This year we got a little bit more water, so we've cut about 50 tons, which in Klamath County we feed about 2.5 tons, between 2.5 and 3 tons per cow per year. So like 100 cows is going to take, you know, between 250 and 300 tons of hay to get them through the winter. But if you had to feed them in the summer when they normally would be on pasture, you would go in the hole in a hurry feeding cows in the summer. And a lot of our neighbors did that, they just to try to keep their cows, fed them hay all summer.
So what's the issue with the water? Why is water being denied to you?
So the Bureau of Reclamation says that it's all in the name of Endangered Species Act for the short-nosed suckerfish and I think the Lost River suckerfish. And they're saying that the biological opinion says that they need so much water, which in my opinion is more water than what they'd had historically. And definitely it was more water than what was there prior to the dam, which was built. The first dam was built in 1902 to dam up Klamath Lake, and then the current one was built in 1917, I believe. I think that's right.
Well, really, like, I would say there's going to be people watching this who are not farmers and who are also they're not familiar with the situation in California at all. So if you can just maybe simply explain to them, like, the Klamath situation, like, how was the dam built? What was the purpose behind it? Who is that water promised to? I know there's a bit of back and forth, and maybe what the problem is now. So simply walk it through.
The Bureau of Reclamation came in, and I think that actually they were formed, I mean, you guys can do your research, but so I guess this is all be edited, but so the project was started in 1902. When it was completed as it is now, I couldn't tell you. I think it was actually in the 50s, because originally the Klamath Basin was sometimes marshland, sometimes dry, and it all depended upon the snowpack in the winter. If they had a really big winter, the water flooded clear down to the Tule Lake Basin. And the Bureau of Reclamation did a good thing, because they took this ground that was very, I don't know what the right word would be, you know, like one year you would have no water, and the next year it would be flooded, and you couldn't plant until whenever the water.
So it's like very volatile.
Yeah, and so when the project started, it harnessed all that water into one spot, and the idea was that we could take this water and we can use it. You know, we could meter it out in a way that benefits agriculture in this basin, and they did a very great job of it. It's the most efficient, from my understanding. The Clowns Project is the most efficient project the Bureau of Reclamation administers. It's, I've heard, 92 to 97% efficient, which what I'm saying is that that much of that water, it either gets used, reused, or it goes back into the Klamath River, which
so,
is...
So you gave the example in the house of what happens if somebody overwaters.
So, yeah, if you overwater and you're... And we still have quite a few flood irrigating. So if they flood irrigate and they... the ditch breaks or whatever, and they over irrigate, that water all drains to a drain ditch, and then it gets picked up down the line. And so what I overuse, somebody else will pick up in their pump, and whether they pump it or flood irrigate it or whatever. And if it kept getting overused, it would go down to the Tule Lake Wildlife Refuge, which is, it's in the flyway of millions and millions of birds that come through this area. Mm-hmm. And then if it even got overused there, it would be pumped back into the Klamath River. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I know World War II and maybe even World War I, veterans they had a lottery draw for Tule Lake for a homestead, and they picked your number out of the, if you got picked, they give you, I'm pretty sure it was 80 acres to farm. And back in those days, you know, people raised families on 80 acres. On our place, it's 80 acres, and I think that they raised a family there. But, you know, as times change, you can't, there's no way you could make a living on 80 acres of agriculture. And so our contract for the Bureau was in 1952, I believe it was, we could have taken ownership of the project. But we didn't, because there was a very amicable relationship between the Bureau and the farmers. Like, hey, you guys are administering this perfectly. You have the resources to do it. Let's just keep it going like it is. And so the Bureau said, sure, we'll do that. And so to this day, it's still under the Bureau's control. But then around, I don't know, probably the 80s is when these environmental concerns came up, and people realized that they could use the ESA to extort money out of the government or whatever. And that might not be the right term, but it probably is the right term. So then, I mean, like I used to log, I used to be a timber faller, and I was fortunate enough to get out of it at the right time, but they destroyed Oregon's timber industry. And all in the name of the ESA, spotted owl or whatever the osprey or whatever they could. And it's a separate subject, but I mean, you know, the last, 10 years, we have smoke all summer because the forests are burning up because of bad management by the government. And now we have bad management of the Bureau. And to be honest, I don't know how a lot of those people sleep at night by what they're doing, because you have unelected officials making decisions about people's livelihood, and some of those farms and ranches in our basin have been in families for generations since the early 1900s. And they we had a high rate of suicide back in 2001 when they shut the water off, and then when they shut it off again there was, because people, you know, farming's not in our basin, farming's not like rich millionaire farmers, you know, that are making a killing every year. I mean, cattle have always been a commodity that's, you know, some years you do good, some years you break even, some years you lose money. But in cattle especially, I think farming is kind of a different thing, but it's probably still the same. Like, you have to love what you do to do it. And my wife and I, we bought into that, because we've both been around cattle our whole lives and farming, and that's what we wanted to do. And we didn't inherit anything. We started with 2 cows, and we were up to like 160 cows at one point. But because of the water issues, you know, not having the water for our pastures that we rent, not having water for our pastures at our house, we couldn't afford to feed them hay. You know, well, it's just a bad business practice. It was a bad decision to feed hay year round. Now, if we had, that's all we had, I mean, you would have to gamble to see if, you know, like, do we buy hay this summer and feed our cows to try to keep them and hope the price comes up next year and this situation goes away. Well, but we thought, well, we'll just get rid of cows and we'll pay our bills and we'll do what we can do to keep what we have without borrowing money or trying to go behind. And so then, like I was saying, last year we cut 30 tons of hay, but we had hay left over from the year before when we had a full water allocation. We had about 100 tons left over, and what we, well, maybe a little bit more than that, but so between the cows we sold and the hay we had from the year before, we were able to get by. We didn't have to buy any hay last year. And this year, though, we're going to have to buy some hay just to get by or sell a lot more cows. Mm. And so it's kind of like part of my reasoning behind the cattle and stuff, too, is we had held back our heifers for years to get to the numbers that we had. And we've bought cattle over the years, but I don't think we have bought any cattle in, what, 15 years? Mm. So we kind of have a closed herd, and we know the lineage of every cow on there. My wife keeps really good records of every cow and every heifer and what bull they were bred to. And
yeah, so I wanted to kind of back up a little bit because I don't quite understand. So you said that the lake was dammed because the lake was very volatile, right? Mm-hmm. Or rather, the river was very volatile. And so it was dammed up so the water could be used in a productive manner. Then there was a good relationship between the government and the different farmers who settled there. That excess water was divvied out to the different farms so they can make...
No, that's actually not true at all. Mm-hmm. So with Oregon Water, and I didn't mean to be rude about that, but so that's the thing people have to understand is that in Oregon water law, all waters belong to the state of Oregon. So the bureau does not have a water right. The bureau has a right, and this is like legalese talk and you can look up the statutes in Oregon water law. But the bureau has a right to store water in Klamath Lake. That's it. And what I make the analogy like, the bureau is the bank, and the water is the money. Mm-hmm. And so the bureau, their only obligation is to distribute that money to people with a water right. Which I have. Mm-hmm. So I go to the Bureau and say, hey, I need however many acre feet of water. And the Bureau says, okay, you have that in the bank here. Here's your water. Mm-hmm. But what the Bureau is doing is they're saying, oh, well, you want some water? You don't have a water right, but we'll give it to you. And we're going to take it from Lane. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. And it's actually breaking the law. And they do it without any consequences. I mean, their answer is to sue us, or we sue them to get them to stop, and it goes to court, and we actually won two cases in the Oregon Supreme Court, and a lot of that's changed in just the last month. I should be current on what's happened, but I'm not. But the Bureau just said, well, tough. And then once that water gets released past the dam, mm-hmm. it's too late for the farmers. So the biological opinion says the fish need, I think it's 4136, but that's something that you could look up. But the biop says, like, it's like, well, or the Bureau says, the biop says 4136.15, and I think those numbers could be accurate. But then the Bureau says, well, no, just for a cushion, we want 41.76. They have no authority to do that other than some guy says that's what we're going to do. Mm. And nothing happens and there's no consequences. In the meantime, it gets tied up in court and you have crops out in the field getting burned up because the Bureau already put the water down the river and won't give you any more. And then on top of that...
Could you go back and explain sort of... So you were saying that the water began to get diverted from farming use to other uses. Can you sort of explain?
So the Bureau of Reclamation and the ESA and the biological opinion says that the fish, that which is, and I'm talking sucker fish in Upper Klamath Lake, says they need, I think it's 4136.15 is a biological opinion. And so like I was saying, that so somebody at the Bureau says that no, we're for a cushion, we're going to make it 4136.75, which is a lot of water, because Klamath Lake, I think it's about 200,000 acres, so 1 foot of water in that lake is a little over half of what we would use normally in a really dry year. The average depth of that lake, depending on who you ask, is between 6 and 9 feet.
And so the buffer, how many, what's the buffer that this bureaucrat decided to add?
Well, it would be like 0.66, so a little over a half a foot of water, which is a lot of water for us. And the way they've already curtailed it this year, that would be a lot of water. I mean, basically what the government's done, they said, here's enough water for you to get half, to get your crop halfway up. So you have all the expense of fertilizer and fuel and farming and tractor parts and everything. And then at the end of the year, what they did this year is they said, no more water. Well, if you have potatoes or stuff that the crop's not done yet, you're just going to kill it off. And that's what they did. I'm hoping that they will get some kind of crop off their potatoes and stuff. I don't know much about potatoes or any. All we've ever farmed is alfalfa and grain hay. But getting back to so the guy says, oh, that we're going to have a buffer for this with no legal authority to do it. And so we sued them in court and won. But that's changed because I think the federal government said that we don't have a right to sue in state court because it's a federal issue instead of a state issue. But all rights that I was taught in high school, even in grade school, that all rights that don't belong to the federal government exclusively belong to the states. And Oregon is kind of, they're good on that 10th Amendment unless for like legalizing pot and stuff because it's illegal to federally grow pot. But in the state of Oregon, it's legal. So hopefully that they're going to, I don't think, and maybe they can, maybe that's the new way stuff is going to happen is that that we can apply this law here, but not this one over here. And they actually do it on all kinds of stuff now, which doesn't make sense to me because if it's a law is not upheld, why even have the law? But so anyway, they said we need X amount of we're gonna take more water this year because I think that we need more water for the fish this year, and they've been doing the same thing for the last 20 years. With no improvement in fish species. And to me, I think it's silly to do the same thing for 20 years with no change or improvement in the fish and say, oh, well, this is all in the name of science. Well, I was taught you have a hypothesis. You test your hypothesis and then you come to a conclusion. Well, you don't just do the same test over and over and over and over and over for 20 years and it fails for 20 years. And still say that's all we got. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's why I say that this issue, it's all politics, has nothing to do with saving a fish.
So
at all.
When you're denied water, do you still have to pay your water bill?
Because we don't pay for the water, we pay for the maintenance on the ditch. It's a very intricate system that the engineering of what they did without, you know, gas powered engines and stuff. I mean, most of those, all the big canals originally were dug with horses, and the system worked forever. I understand that that's what we pay for is the maintenance, because without it, you can't just. I guess I'm saying that I get they're having that's maintenance and not paying for the water, because according to Oregon, they're just benevolent enough to allow us to have whatever little water we can get to try to eke out a living. It should be criminal, and it would be if it wasn't a government agency.
So can you sort of lay out, so in a given year, how much water do you normally get? And in, let's say, starting in the year they cut the water to you, how much are you getting?
So this year we received, I believe, it was around between 40 and 60,000 acre feet. In a dry year, before the politics of the system, in a really dry year, we would use around 400,000 acre feet of water. And I think I'm right, and these probably should check these figures before you publish them. And in a wet year, when like we get good spring rains, or you know, we had rains in the fall to help water the crops, then we would use around 380,000 acre feet of water. And what I've been told is that that's about 5% of the water that goes through the lake in a year. So that's about, and I don't know if that's necessarily true because I've heard that it's about 2 million acre feet of water that goes through that lake. And drought years, obviously, and with the low snowpack, obviously, that's going to change.
With these water cuts, how did it personally affect you, your operation? You're growing alfalfa, hay, grain. How did it affect you, both from farming, ranching, and also financially?
So financially, we used to get about probably around 40% of our income from our cattle and our hay. And my wife could tell you because she knows our books. I don't know anything about them, but so we went from, well, but we always kind of retained our heifers. But so last year we cut 30 tons of hay. Normally we would cut between 350 and 400 tons and never had to buy hay. We would sometimes just, like when we would rotate our alfalfa out, one year we put it in a lot of grain hay. And so we bought alfalfa to mix, just to try to make sure we didn't get grass tetany in our cows. And I think that's the only time we bought hay. This year we're going to have to buy hay because we have a little bit of grain hay and the rest is grass hay. And we've got about 50 tons of hay that we cut this year. So we've cut our, I mean, what, 20 or 80% less hay now. And but that's not just the only issue. Another issue is we have two, there's a couple pastures that we've rented over the years that they're weeds now. They look like that hill up there. Well, they look worse than that hill up there because they're not even grass on them. It's because the grass is will compete against weeds and it'll outcompete weeds if it's irrigated and grass is growing good. And I'm not much of a farmer, but that's true for the most part. I mean, there's some weeds like bull thistle and stuff like that that it doesn't matter, they'll come up and the, but if you, I could show you pictures of some of the fields that we have. They used to be grass that was as good as this, and now it's just, it's all weeds. And if it's not weeds, it's just bare dirt now because the grass, you know, it can last a summer without water, but 2 summers just kills it. And it is dead. It's dirt now. And so my biggest cost, if I stay in this, is going to be trying to get to repair the damage that's been done from not having any water for 2 years. So we've taken a big hit financially, and we've tried to, you know, it was going to be our retirement. We kind of thought that maybe when we got ready to not do this anymore, we would just sell all our cows and we would have a good cash, you know, that we could put into some kind of vehicle that we could retire on. But that's I don't think see that happening now.
So I guess last question. If this continues down the road, it seems to be going down, and whether the EPA stays with the regulations they have or they become even stricter, what would that actually look like for your operation?
Oh, we'll be out of business. And not only that, but just because of the appreciation of our place over the years, we've been there 20, 21 years now. We could have sold the place a couple of years ago and I could have retired and we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. But now, how do you value a property that you farm with no water? So it, I mean, our property is probably worth less than it is the same place that's just got a house and 2 acres that they can water with their well. And I think there's a lot of farmers in the basin that are in my same boat that, and a lot of our friends, they have 20 cows or 40 cows or 10 cows, you know, because they love cattle. And nobody that I know of raises cattle unless they have thousands and thousands in their corporate ranch, raises cattle for the money. We were lucky enough to raise our kids in a lifestyle to where they knew chores, they knew the value of a dollar, they knew the value of a hard day's work, and I think that's one of the things that I say that the worst thing that this government's done to this country is they've taken away pride and integrity and dignity. And so it's if you can get a government dollar and stay at home and watch TV, people do it now. And where it used to be, people wouldn't. It's like, I don't want your money. But the government is backed us into a situation where you either take our money or you lose your place. And so what we've worked for all these years, we're beholden to the government. And I think it's criminal that they do that, that they say that they want you beholden to them for your livelihood. And we are, to be honest, we are. I mean, I don't know what to, And a lot of people say, well, just don't take their money. Well, what am I gonna do? Sell my place at a loss, sell my cows. And the cattle market, it's a volatile market. Cattle are pretty good this year, but the pears aren't. The steers are, I guess, pretty good. We haven't sold any yet, so I don't really check in the market until we're about that time to sell. But if it keeps up, then Klamath Basin will be just like a lot of the other towns in eastern Oregon that have dried up because the government's destroyed them. And it is the government that, I don't think people should make any mistake. It is the government that's destroyed them. It's not bad farming practices or bad ranching practices. It's because the government has made it to where they're just not profitable.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much.